It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study God's precious Word. And please open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And we're going to look at the, begin to read with the 21st verse, and then we'll read to the end of the chapter. And so please that you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. And we're going to begin reading with verse 21. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm glad that you've joined us today. And if you would like to write to us, I would like to share the address of the church here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341 is our mailing address. And then also you could visit us on our website, and that's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to find your place, and we'll begin to read now Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. The elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said unto Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the precious word. Father, thank you today that we can come together. I ask that you will guide and lead us through these words, through your precious book, that we may enjoy it and learn from it, Lord, that we may learn each and every part that we should know from you. Please help us to understand it today. I thank you for this sweet time that you have given us to be together, and please bless it, and let's bring honor and glory unto you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to come together and study God's Word, whether it be, you know, I love the family that we have here, the church family. We come together and we visit and we fellowship over the Word of God. You know, a lot of places they come together and they fellowship, but they have to have some outside activity other than being centered upon the Word. And there are many things going on in the world today and to occupy our time. But when we come into the house of God, we shouldn't be occupied with the things of the world. We should be occupied with the things of God. And it really should remain in our hearts and in our lives the rest of the day. So please that you enjoy this study today as we look through God's precious Word and learn from it. We find that Rebekah was barren. She had not had children. And we know, according to the verses that we've just read, that Isaac, that he was 60 years old. And so Isaac was 80 years old when she bare. And so he's 60 years old. And so they had waited for some time, because you see, he was 40 when Rebekah come and to be his wife, when that took place. And so now 20 years has passed and no children. We're not really told as far as their desire for children, but Isaac knew that the promise was through him, and he was such a miracle child himself, and so now he's getting back up to 60 years old and doesn't have any children, and so he calls upon the Lord, and we find now that Rebekah conceives, and we find something a little bit different here, because the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she said, she went to inquire of the Lord, and we've kind of been through part of that. You know, there's a struggle that started there, and that struggle began back even in Rebekah's womb, in the mother's womb, and that battle has never ended. These two nations that it talks about here are two nations that have continued to battle for years. And we know, as we read a little earlier, a bit ago, we read that his name was Edom. And if you're familiar at all with a Bible map, why, you can look at the land of Canaan, which become the promised land where the 12 tribes settled, and then below Canaan and a little bit off to the right, as you're looking at the map there, a little off to the east, why, you'll find the land of Edom lays in there, and that's Jacob's brother, and so that's Esau and his descendants, and so it's something to study the Word of God and find the descendants of Lot, and find the descendants of Abraham, and find the descendants of between Isaac and then Jacob and Esau, and it's exciting to be able to study the Word of God and understand where all those people came from, and very easy. It's just a joy to do so, and I hope that you have enjoyed such a study, and continue to stay with us, and we'll help you to see those things so that you can better understand and find out what the Lord would have you to learn of His Word. But we find that the struggle started even in the womb. She wanted to know, why was there a problem, and there was a problem, but it was between the things that are spiritual and things that are worldly, and those two brothers, even though they were twins, they couldn't have been any more unlike each other. They couldn't have been any different. You ever wondered, you know, sometimes as the children are born in a family, and you one of them, they just look just like mom or dad, and the other one, you have no idea where they came from, because their character is different and their looks is different and everything, and God wonderfully makes us, and it's just, but sometimes you have a little trouble making the connection between the parents there. But here we kind of have the same thing. At least we have two totally different children. And the Lord tells us here in His Word in verse 23, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Two nations, two manner of people. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. And this is what's kind of strange, because normally, you know, the elder always is over the younger, but the elder shall serve the younger, verse 23 tells us. And we'll come to see that to be true. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over, like a hairy garment. Now that's quite an explanation of a child, isn't it? Red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And so we have the first name here, Esau, and Esau means red or earth-colored. And so we will find that Esau lives up to his name, because he is earthy. He is very, he loves the things of the world. That's what he desires to have. Now that's the firstborn. That was Esau. Now the secondborn was, we find, to be Jacob. And after that came his brother out, verse 26, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them, and when Rebekah gave birth to these children. And so Jacob is the usurper. He desired to be number one. He wanted to be first. And it was kind of different with the two boys, because you would look at Esau and the kind of a man that he was, you would think that he would be more competitive than what Jacob would be. But we find that in this, Jacob is the second born. He's the younger of the two. And again, we find that they've been married 20 years, and Isaac is 60 years old. Jacob was trying to be first. He grabbed a hold of Esau's heel, didn't he? Was he going to try to pull him back in and come out at first? We're not real sure what, but it sure records that. Isn't that something and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And, you know, Lord had put it in his word here that the younger would be over the elder. The elder would serve the younger. And we find that again to have come to pass. And we, as we continue here and we look, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And so as we look here at this man, Esau, let's take a look at them, because the difference between these twins is as much a different, they couldn't be any more different than what they are. And everything of their life, not only their looks, but as different as their looks and as different as their build, we find that their philosophies of life and their goals and their desires, they are just as opposite. So there is nothing of these two children that are alike. And to be twins, that's really something, to be totally different from each other. And so in every way, they are different. And so let's look at Esau. What kind of a man was Esau? It said that he grew up, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. And so, Esau, he loved to hunt. He was an outdoors kind of boy. He loved sports, I'm sure, and he loved to hunt and to fish and all those things of the world. And he occupied all of his time with those things. And so, you know, we have many examples today of people that would be called Esau, wouldn't they? Because, boy, they just they have no time for the things of God. They have no time for the things at church. They have no time for spiritual things. They're too busy. They're too busy hunting. They're too busy fishing. They're too busy doing all those kinds of things that draw people into this world and suck them right into the world. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with the hunting and the fishing and going to sports activities and things like that. But when it controls your life, and it takes priority over the things of God, then there's a problem. And Esau had a problem, because he grew up loving those things. And I mean, he was strong, and he was just desired all those things. If he could have taken off and been gone for a week on a hunting expedition, why, that was just great with him. And anything that was to do with something around the house or helping in that manner or anything that was spiritual was the furthest thing from Esau's mind. Now, we have another. And his name is Jacob. Now, we're told here that Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Jacob was a plain man. Now, if you know the Word of God at all, you'll understand and know that Jacob is the one that the promise is coming through. Jacob. And if you have studied the Word of God, you'll realize that Jacob is the father of the 12 sons that become the 12 tribes of Israel as we begin to study through God's Word. But Jacob's name eventually was changed to Israel. And so that's the beginning of the nation of Israel is in this man right here. Of course, the promise came through Abraham and then through Isaac, and now it comes through Jacob, the younger and not the elder. And so we find the promise is coming through there. But Jacob was much different than his brother Esau. He was a very plain man. And I believe that you would look to the two of them, that you could almost think of them being, one being strong and the other being kind of weak. One being just not caring for anything of the outdoors, never even cared to go outdoors, dwelling in tents, the scripture tells us. So we're told that he was a plain man and dwelling in tents. That's the two things that kind of talk about here. So again, he didn't care about any hunting. He didn't care about the fishing. He probably didn't give any care for any sports activities or anything. He just stayed home. We do know that he liked to cook. And he was probably a pretty good chef. He was good at what he was doing, but in the man's world, why, he was kind of a weakling, and he was not made of anything of strength or of importance, and is someone that you may even kind of look down upon because he just was not that strong, muscular, not that one that would go out and hunt the deer and hunt the turkeys and all those things. He was more one to stay in the house and kind of hanging on to his mother's aprons, you might say. Now, Esau, and we're not really told much about Isaac as far as what he really liked, but we know that Isaac liked what Esau was doing. Now, and we have that connection here in verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. He liked what he was doing. He'd look at that young man. He was stout and strong, and he was, a hunter, and he loved what he hunted, and he enjoyed as they would bring that victory, that animal back, and they would prepare that animal, and Isaac would sit there and eat that animal. Oh, my, that was good. And he really almost admired his son Esau here as he looked at him. But then we got Jacob. Well, Jacob was just altogether different. You know, he didn't like to do those things. He wasn't the sports active in sports, and he didn't hunt, and all those things that Isaac kind of liked and Jacob went into. And, you know, that could be the problem here. The problem could be that Isaac, instead of following the leadership of his father Abraham, he followed a little bit into the world. The promise was through him, yes, but he liked the things of the world. And he kind of raised one of his sons in the same mode, in the same direction, more on worldly things than on spiritual things. Well, thanks to mother, and sad to say that is the reason many times that the children do get to Sunday school and do come to church and the children are saved is because of mother, not because of dad. Mom sees to it that the children get this spiritual teaching and feeding. I'm ashamed of many dads. I'm ashamed of the fathers because their eyes and their desires are all on things of the world, on the hunting and on the fishing and all those things. And the only thing they can do is they're so busy doing those things on Saturday that even if they don't do them on Sunday, they're too tired, and so they sleep on Sunday morning. Well, mom gets up and gets the children ready for Sunday school and brings them to Sunday school, and old dad, he might drag along with them and sleep halfway through church. But that's a sad case because the children should be looking to father, to their dad, to see the spiritual teaching and the spiritual strength. Not, yes, mother should be right there too, but dad should be in the front. Dad should be the one that should show them and teach them, and they should admire their father because of the spiritual wisdom that he has. And please, dads, let's straighten up. Let's put aside some of these things. There'll be a time when you can enjoy them a little bit, maybe when the children are raised, but don't worry about it, because even if you never get to do it, it's of no real value anyway. The things of God, the things that are spiritual, they're of value. Jacob, he desired spiritual things, and he wanted to be first, because, see, there is some things that come with being first, and being the eldest in the family. Now, we've kind of talked about these two boys. We've talked about that Jacob kind of likes to stay in the house and cook. Esau, he loves to go out in the woods and hunt and camp and fish, and he probably was real good in sports and enjoyed those things. And all that's just fine as long as it does not take away from the service of the Lord. But I don't know very many that it doesn't. because they're so occupied with that, that they would rather be involved in that than they would in the things of God. So, and we have here Isaac loved Esau. We've talked about that. Now, we really haven't talked about, now we have Jacob here. Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, Jacob, this man we will find to eventually be a very spiritual man. And we know, as we've just talked about, that Esau is just the opposite. He's a man of the world. There's going to be trouble here, serious trouble, because Isaac and Rebekah are not in agreement. Isaac and Rebekah are not in agreement on how to raise their children. And it's so much that they even favor one over the other. And that's a disastrous thing today. It's always been a disastrous thing. If you can't love your children and love every one of them equally, yes, every one of them will have different talents and different abilities, but you love them, you show them the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, you show them the way to learn the Word of God, train them up. We come into the house of God, and that's one thing that we see very early on, and we see the children begin to carry their Bibles, and they open their Bibles, and the children here can name the books of the Bible. They're not very old before they can go from Genesis to Revelation, and they can do the Old and New Testament alike, and they can open their Bibles up, and they can't any more than read. And yet they're already looking up references in the books of the Bible. They already understand how to use the concordance. They love the Bible dictionary. All these things are things that we have taught the children here, because they need to know the Word of God. And they need to know how to use the Word of God to seek God's will for their life and to know the will of God and to find the things that are spiritual and the things that are really a blessing to their heart. Now, we have many, I'm afraid, that would probably just as soon be out in the timber someplace hunting or sitting on the river bank or sitting on a pond somewhere in a little boat and fishing, and that's probably where their mind is at while they're in the church. Well, we're going to find that that's not good. And Isaac, instead of Isaac talking to Esau and saying, "Now, Esau, I really enjoy what you bring, but I need to talk to you because you're the elder, and you need to be the spiritual leader, because when the day comes that I'm too old to take care of the spiritual responsibilities of this household, you need to." Now, Isaac should have been talking to Esau, but I don't believe Isaac had that conversation with Esau. I'm not sure what conversation that Rebekah had, but I believe, according to what Jacob begins to do, that he desires to be that spiritual leader. And he is even kind of working in a way that it's a trick to get the birthright so that he can have what he wants. And he's looking after that. He's desiring to have that. Now, it tells us that this man Jacob, he again will eventually look to the things that are spiritual. We find that as this man Jacob begins, this is the first reference here in the chapter 26 or 25, and as we look at that reference there, you need to realize that we are not going to leave him. Him and his family and the seed that's coming from him is the theme of the scripture. Abraham, Father Abraham, we talk about, and he is the father of the nation of Israel, and that's true. But when we get to Jacob is the one where it really begins to establish and develop this land, this people. And this is God's chosen people. And so we begin here, and, we're about 1,800 years from the time that Adam was born and the world was created. We're about 1,800 years, and here comes the promise that was made to Adam and Eve. As soon as they had sinned, they were given a promise, and it was the first gospel presented. And we're promised this seed, and this seed's going to come. It's going to come through Isaac, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and it just continues to come. And you can go all the way back through Noah, and then come up through that family. And so, please, as we look at these words here, we find that Jacob will continue to be very, matter of fact, the rest of the book of Genesis is nothing except the Jacob's family. And so we'll see that, and then you can go on into Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, and then we come into Joshua, where they come into the promised land that is given them, the physical land that's given them. And so it just you'll find that this man Jacob here is going to become a mighty spiritual man. Just hold on, so you can see that. Now, how about Jacob? What happens to Esau? That's Jacob. What happens to Esau? Now, Esau was not so desirous of these spiritual things. As a matter of fact, he didn't desire them at all. And we find here that, again, Isaac loved Esau, Rebekah loved Jacob. That's a problem. And follow through, because we'll find that to be a problem, but remember that. Jacob sought pottage or porridge, if you would like to call it that, and they call it stew. Esau came into the field, and he was faint. He came from the field. He'd been hunting, and when you have been out hunting all day, well, you do. You come back, and you're tired, and you're hungry. I want to sit down and eat something. Well, there didn't seem to be anything else to eat. And so Esau said, and here Jacob had made this stew or this porridge, and Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with this same red pottage or porridge or stew, whatever you want to call it, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Edom means red. And so here we have this red porridge. We have this concoction that Jacob has cooked up, and I'm sure that it's very, very good. But Esau comes in, and he's so impatient. You see, there's a big difference between a believer in Jesus Christ and one that's surrendered to the Lord and one that's of the world, because the man or the woman that does not know Jesus Christ, or at least is not surrendered to him, is very impatient. And so that's one proof of someone that's mature in the Lord, if you are patient. Because you will be patient if you know Jesus Christ, because he will bring patience to you. He will cause you through much trial and tribulation sometimes, but patience will come. And patience is wonderful, and I hope that you have much patience. And we find that as this is coming about here, Esau has no patience. Well, right now, Jacob really doesn't have a lot of patience either, because Jacob looks at this situation as an opportunity. And that's sad, because he should be waiting upon the Lord to provide and set in place what needs to be done. But instead of that, we don't have that at all here. We got two brothers that are very competitive. And Esau is the hunter. Esau loves to hunt. Esau came in from the field. Esau was hungry, and Jacob had fixed a fine meal for supper, and so Esau said, "I want some." And Jacob said, What's it worth? What's it worth to you?" And Esau said, "You know, I'm sure he was probably beginning to get angry, because when he wanted something, he wanted something." And that's kind of common with the world. There's no patience there. And Jacob said, "Tell you what, I can work this out if you'll sell me your birthright. I want to own your birthright." Well, the birthright, what that would mean, it is the head of the house, the head of the family, and also it is a spiritual leader. And I'm not sure how much at this point in time that Jacob understood that the promise was coming through him. So you see, he didn't need to trick Esau. God would have taken care of that. He had already put that in place, that it was coming through Jacob, not through Esau. But instead of that, what we have here that Jacob was kind of getting in a little bit of a hurry, and he saw this opportunity, and Esau was hungry, and he even made the statement that he, "Behold, I am at the point to die." Oh, that wasn't true at all. I don't believe that he was anywhere near that place. But you know, when we're impatient, we want it, and we want it right now. That's what we want. And so we need to ask the Lord for patience and for understanding and for strength. Because Esau wanted this food right now, and I think that he wanted it so badly that Jacob thought he had a chance here to get his birthright. And he realized that Esau probably didn't care much for his birthright. And so he inquired here. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me." It's verse 30. "And with the same red pottage or stew, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" He had not had any thought in that birthright to this point in time. And so, please now, as we, I don't like it, we're just about out of time. And so we're going to stop there, and we're going to begin there. We got a man of the world, and we've got a man that's going to be spiritual. Now, I hope today that you can recognize the difference between those two and look to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him for strength and for direction. Hope you know Him as your Savior today. Please trust in Him. Please come by faith to Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?